Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.
God gave me a scripture, and I'm going to dive into that word. He gave me I was just sitting in the garden enjoying the Bible, and I was reading 2 Samuel 10 verse 12, or 2 Samuel 10 actually, but I got stuck on verse 12. And the Israelites have gone to battle again, and they're out in battle, and Joab, the leader, the army, the general of the army, says to the people on the battlefield, I mean, they're surrounded, basically. They've come to battle, and they've been surprised because an army has appeared behind them as well. So they're surrounded. And Joab says this to the following, and I guess he said it in a bit of a Braveheart voice, but I'm not going to use that right now. but he said, "Be of good courage. Let us play the man for our people and the cities of our God, and may the Lord do what seems good to him." So in essence, he says, let us do our part, and then we trust that God will do his part. But our part is what? Our part is be of good courage. That's Hebrew for have courage. And let us play the man is let's be the man. Literally, be the man. Let's not be afraid and let us be the man. And what he's saying there is let us not just pretend to be brave, let us not just pretend to be powerful, but let us be powerful. Let us be courageous. We're not here on the battlefield hoping for victory. We have victory. And here's the important part. For our people and our cities. And when we're that, then God can come. And we're going to trust that God does his part too. At the end of the story, they hardly had to fight. The enemies dissolved in fear. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, wow. It's really amazing. Here's the important part. Job says, have courage. Number two, he says, be the man or the woman God intended you to be. Number three, for the people in our lives. Number four, see what God does. That's just powerful. So now I'm sitting and I'm just thinking about the word courage because, yeah, we have a battle scene. And can I just see how many people have been in battle recently? No, like with swords and spears in a field and an army is in the... Okay, so maybe we were with the Springboks in battle and, you know, I mean, 1 point three times in a row is really close. But I'm not going to ride that sled any further. Maybe you are facing challenges and things, but I realized something while thinking about having courage and what it means to have courage. Because you see, we read stories of battle. We read stories like of David chopping off heads, and we can't relate because we'd end up in prison. Unless I go to war as an army soldier, I can't relate to the stories of battle in the Bible because my debt that we're getting over doesn't relate in any way to standing on a battlefield in the midst of war. So what kind of courage do I need? And here's something I realized. I've been in experiences, thankfully not too many times, where I know I've had to depend on God for my life. Many, many years ago, we woke up with robbers in our room, armed and dangerous. And I realized something. I realized at that moment, I was not afraid. At that moment, the peace of God transcended the experience in the room. I can testify to that. I can testify of a calmness and a courage. And so I thought, well, what do I really need courage for? And I realized something. There are fears that people carry in their hearts daily that are greater than the fears of the obvious physical things. Don't be afraid of the person that can harm the body, but be afraid of that, of him who can harm the soul. I really butchered that. But the truth came through. And I realized that's true. Because when I've been in situations where I've been physically endangered, the fear has not compared to the fear that I carry daily with regards to certain things in my spirit. And we carry some, not we, you know, maybe I'm not speaking to anyone in this church, maybe you don't have any fears in your heart, but there are certain fears that people carry daily that are more harmful than the fear of physical injury or damage. Some people have built businesses and lost it all and discovered it's not so bad. We can build again. Some people have had incredible illnesses, yet God has touched them and healed them, and in that process they've realized it's not so bad. The fear that I've been carrying about what can injure me physically does not compare to the fear that people walk with, the fear that damages their identity and their spirit. So I just felt God saying, let's highlight those fears, those deep inward fears, and let's walk in victory. And we're going to talk about that for the next 3 weeks, where we're going to touch on certain fears and then step into victory and step over those fears. Can I see anyone in this room who wants to step over fear, who wants to have courage and be the man or woman that God has intended us to be? I quoted it earlier, but Psalm 68 verse 3 says, let the righteous, the uncompromisingly righteous, be glad, and let them be in high spirits before the Lord. How many of you know that army on that battlefield was in high spirits? God can't work with anyone who's in a gloomy state, who's depressed, who's mournful. As Rodney Out Brown always says, they look so sad, they look like they've been eating oats out of an exhaust pipe of a car without bending down. God can't do anything with someone who's not in high spirits. Turn to the person next to you, say, I am in high spirits. Some of you just looked at me like, I'll leave you alone, it's fine. See, God's given us a beautiful, free gift of righteousness and a free gift of life. And He wants us to step into it and take hold of it. Revelation 2 verse 26 says, he who overcomes and is victorious and who obeys my commands to the very end, doing the works that please me, I will give him authority and power over cities, your own finances, no, nations. Guys, that's powerful. He who overcomes, I will give power and authority over nations. That's why that army could stand on the field and they saw the nations flee from them. Just take that. Hold it. That's the truth. Moses told Joshua, only be strong and very courageous that you may do all according to which Moses the servant commanded you. Turn not to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. It's really good words. So what do we need to overcome? We need to overcome fear. Only fear the Lord and serve Him faithfully with all your heart, and consider how great are the things He has done for you. Quoting 1 Samuel 12, verse 24. So, it's obvious. Be courageous. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. My mom was saying, have a flint face, meaning stay focused on what God has called you to. Don't get distracted. And the only way you can be distracted is if you open the door to fear in your heart. If you open the door to any kinds of fear in your heart, you can get distracted. Don't take the short left. Okay, we're going to talk about three fears today. And maybe this will resonate with you, maybe it won't. But these are three basic core fears that anyone can have, that anyone can carry. Maybe because of past experiences, maybe because of personality makeup, maybe because of who you are. And I'm going to relate this fear to someone in the Bible so that you can see, wow, that's what was happening over there. And that's how God was working in that person and bringing victory in that person's life. The first fear, and it might not sound like a fear, but it's the fear of being corrupt or evil, the fear of being defective. The person who experiences that fear easily slips into being critical and perfectionist. So, if you in your life have found yourself being overly perfectionist or overly critical, chances are there's a fear that you don't like, you wouldn't want to be found corrupted. You wouldn't want to be found evil, not defective. And so you do everything in your life to put up a front that there's nothing wrong with you. Anyone in the room? Some people in the room? Think of Saul, who became Paul, how he passionately persecuted the church, even thinking it was in God's service. Think of what Jesus said, be very careful of the leaven of the Pharisees. You see, they were so afraid that their system wasn't perfect. They were so afraid of being found evil, of being corrupted. Saul, before he became Paul, zealously, and he writes this, he says, you have heard of my earlier career and former manner of life in the Jewish religion, how I persecuted and abused the church of God furiously and extensively. With a fanatical zeal, I did my best to make havoc of it and destroy it. Behind Saul, behind every Saul, there is a Paul. And behind this fear, there is a man of God waiting to stand up. Is that good? There's a man with a sense of right of way, the ability to not turn to the left or to the right. You see, God has given this person the ability to be perceptive. He's given this person the ability to understand what is right and what is wrong. And the enemy knows that if this person walks in his calling, he's going to draw many people to righteousness and pull them forward. And so he tempts them with the fear of, but are you perfect? And he turns their biggest fear into the fear of messing up. And so in an attempt to not mess up in any way, they strive to be perfectionistic, strive to do everything right. And sometimes so much so that being right is more important than having good relationship. But behind that person, behind that fear, is someone created as God intended them to be. Someone who is self-disciplined and mature. Someone who is deeply principled, fair, and objective. See, what God wants to release through this person is the ability to create a space where people can experience the love of God through His fairness. Walking in righteous ways, in kingdom ways, empowered by the love of God, without fear. God says, where there is love, there is no fear. Isn't that good? If you're that person, if you say, hey, sometimes I do have a fear of being defective, I want to encourage you to learn to relax. Something I've learned in my life is I'm not the savior of the world. Jesus is. And that person so often feels like they have to be the savior in every situation, fixing every situation. And God says, you're not the savior of the world. Jesus is. You don't have to step in and fix it. All you need to do is to create a space where God's love shines through, where His light shines through. Lead the way. Step into the way. Don't turn to the left or to the right. Is that good? All right. Ready for fear number two? Some people carry a fear of being unwanted, a fear that they are unworthy of love. And sometimes out of the frustration of feeling unwanted, this fear can drive a person to suddenly become aggressive and dominating. Have you experienced someone like that? Are you like that? Can I tell you who was like that in the Bible? Moses. Moses was born at a time where no Hebrew boy was allowed to live. And so in an effort to save his life, his mom put him in a basket and drifted him down the river. And I don't know who decided it was balloon popping Sunday in the building. We had shofar Sunday the other day, and now it's balloon popping Sunday. Okay. All right. So, Moses is drifted down the river as a baby, and he grows up not as an Egyptian and not as a Hebrew. It was obvious to him that he was adopted. He looked different. At some point in his life, someone had to say, you know, we found you in a basket. At some point in his life. And I imagine that perhaps he carried the fear of being unworthy, of being unwanted and not loved. And so one day, in an effort to protect a Hebrew, he strikes out and he kills an Egyptian in aggressiveness and in a dominating way. And then the Hebrews that he just rescued turn around and they don't accept him. And so he has a man that's rejected by Egyptians and by Hebrews, and he runs off into the desert. We know that he's out there for 40 years until he's 80. It's a long time to be in the desert. It's a long time to go fetch some people and go back into the desert. But yes, someone who had a fear of being unwanted, a fear of being unworthy of love. And this is the thing. So often we go through experiences in life where if we allow that to tell us who we are, can dictate our feelings, and we can build up a fear that no one loves us, that no one cares about us, that perhaps we're unworthy of being loved. And that could not be further from the truth. Behind this fear, there is a man with a heart that has a special glow. Just like Moses carried the glory of God with a visible glow, God wants to use people who have felt unworthy and unloved, and He wants to use them to demonstrate God's love. Because they understand the need to be loved. They understand the need to be cared for. And they have a unique ability to see the needs of every single person around them. They have the unique ability to sense when someone needs this or that, or some love here or some love there. They have a special ability. God wants to use, if that's you and you've had that fear, let me say today, God wants to use that fear of being unloved. He wants to use that in you so that your heart can glow with a love and an understanding of the people around you. Don't for a moment think that God has no purpose with you, regardless of your circumstance and where you've come from. If you've missed out in love growing up, don't disqualify yourself. You get to stand in your family, in your community. If you just realize, I'm so aware of the needs of people around me, ask God to fill your heart with a passionate love. I want to say this, just like Moses carried the glory of God, there's a heart that radiates loving kindness and generosity. There is a man who is the good parent that everyone wishes they had. There is someone who understands others deeply. There's someone with immense compassion. Moses' greatest desire was to be loved. Show me your glory was a deep cry to be loved by God and to feel His affection. Isn't that awesome? Lastly, there's a third fear, and it's similar, but it's different. It's the fear of being worthless. The Greek word for greatness, there's a Greek word called meson. I'm not even going to pretend to be Greek in any way. I heard a Greek pastor once, you know, ripping off all the pastors and their Greek words. So I just got to say it as it's written, meson, which means to be greater, larger, elder, stronger, most important. And there's a fear that some people have that they're not important. They're not the most important. And so they feel worthless. In Luke 9, Jesus sends the disciples out, and they go and they cast out demons, and they have a great time in the ministry, and they come back and they start arguing about who is the most important of the lots. And it says in the Bible, Jesus reads their thoughts. He understands what they're thinking. And He comes to them and He said, whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For he who is least among you all, he is the greatest. He says this. And John's like, okay, that's nice. But you see, there was this guy who was casting out demons and we told him to stop. And Jesus is going, no, you don't get it. You haven't heard me. You can go read it. That's the flow in Luke 9. Jesus says, whoever is not against us is for us. So don't tell them to stop. It's like John didn't even get it. The Don't stop them. For whoever is not against you is for you. Sometimes people with a fear of being worthless set themselves up against other people for no reason. Set themselves up against others who are being successful purely because they don't feel like they're worthwhile, like they have worth, because they feel like they are not the most important. And Jesus is looking at his disciples and he's going, you got to be the least. And John's like, well, you know, just went over his head. We read on, we read through Luke and we come to Luke 22. And Jesus is breaking bread and he says, whoever dips his hand into the bread with me will betray me. Well, guess what happens? The disciples are sitting around the table, they're listening. They're like, okay, Jesus is saying not to be like this guy. So they're sitting there thinking, well, if someone can be the worst, then that means someone can be the best. And they start arguing about who is the greatest among them all over again. But there was one person sitting at the table who had a fear that he was not the most important. See, the thing about people with this fear is they can very easily become disengaged and apathetic. One person on their team became disengaged and apathetic to the mission. When the fear of worthlessness or of being unimportant comes, you must resist the temptation to impress others and inflate your importance. And Jesus knew he couldn't directly tell Judas that he was the one. So he used a metaphor. But that person understood and he became disengaged and apathetic. And suddenly he looked over at the grass on the other side and he thought, well, if I betray Jesus, I'm going to be the most important in the other group. And so he betrayed Jesus out of a need to be the most important in the group. And when he realized that they actually didn't think much of him, they didn't care about him at all. When he realized the money he had received was just a bribe, he went and threw it, and in frustration he realized he had come to a place where he's not important. He has zero importance anywhere. Not that he never had importance as a person, but no one placed him on a pedestal. No one said, you're the most important. You're the man. God wants you to be the man, but in a healthy way. But people will be more impressed with the authentic you without inflation than by you bragging about or exaggerating your accomplishments. While this fear might shout, you have no significance, you have no identity. Behind this fear, there is a man with creative solutions, highly inspired and able to bring renewal and transformation. Someone who is an inspiration to many. See, the enemy knows this person is going to inspire many. This person is going to stand up, and he's just through being himself and just through doing what God has called him to be, people are going to be inspired. But the enemy wants him to turn to the left or to the right and says, you don't mean much. You're not the most important. Isn't it amazing that even Jesus' disciples, in the presence of Jesus, argued about who was the greatest of the disciples? But to overcome this fear, you have to learn to acknowledge your mistakes, your failures, and get good at processing pain. Learning how to transform all experiences into something valuable. The person who feels they need to be most important, feel like the world judges them, And so if they were to admit to one error, they would fall from their place of importance. It's so important that we as people learn to say, this is my mistake. I'm going to own my mistake. I'm not going to hide away from it. I'm going to step up. And you know what? God uses that. And you realize, wow, I can learn. If I've made a mistake, I can learn from that. In fact, please send the feedback. Create a feedback culture in your community, in your environment. Use every opportunity to receive feedback so that you can learn from it and grow. We didn't stop learning when we left high school and university. We learn daily through the feedback that we receive. It's to this fear that Paul wrote when he says, we are assured and know that all things work together and are for good to those who love God and are called according to His design and His purpose. Isn't that amazing? Have you seen it that way? We want to walk in victory. We want to walk created as God intended us to be. God says, overcome, have no fear, and be the person, the man and the woman God has called you to be. Because there's a city, there's a family, there's a community, there's a nation waiting for you to be who you were called to be, so that they can have faith and believe just because of who you are, inspiring them to greatness. Isn't it amazing last night watching the fireworks go off, realizing that there's a group of people who lived up to their calling, lived up to their purpose, and believed in their calling and their purpose, regardless of what comes against them, when it comes against them. I'm not saying every one of our rugby players is spirit-led, but I know a whole lot of them are. And there's a nation waiting for more of that. And yeah, we sit in this room. Each of us has the potential to inspire an entire nation and the nations. Because God said, he who overcomes, who follows my word, I will give him authority over nations. That's a promise from God. And we're going to journey in this promise for the next 3 weeks so that we can walk without fear and be overcomers. Is that amazing? Father, we thank you, Lord, that even now we're feeling a little frizzle in our hearts. We're feeling a little, just a bubbling, stirring in our hearts this morning. And we know it's scary to let go of things that we've held on to. But Father, I pray that you will give every person in this room the ability to step out of the fears that so often come to mind. And Lord, that's the fact. They just come to mind. They're not part of who we are. They're not part of our image. They're not part of our calling. They're not who God created us to be. And so, Father, as a church this morning, we want to walk in courage. We want to walk in faith. And we want to be who you've called us to be. And so, Lord, we want to create a space where when we've done that, we can allow you to come and do the things that you do in our lives. We want to watch and see the great things that you do because we're ready and we're standing ready to walk as you've called us. So I just bless every person with the ability to overcome in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're just going to praise. We're just going to give praise and just seal that in our hearts.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.